Pain in the morning. 10:28 a Wednesday. Now inside, 1 week before the presidential election. And my predictions from yesterday's Pain in the Morning didn't disappoint. The chaos is already in suit. Welcome to Philadelphia, where it's complete chaos. And don't think this has anything to do with some police shooting. Give me a break. How many times have we seen this play out? People are shot in Philly on a regular basis. Nobody cares. All of a sudden, people care. Okay. Not to mention, this dope had a knife. But that's okay. You're like, it ain't so cool acting like a jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving. It's okay. He was going to carve a turkey. The family said he was turning his life around. Anyway, he bought the knife to carve a turkey. That'll be next, right?
A defenseless man, family man, just trying to carve a turkey for Thanksgiving, shot in cold blood.
It's like, come on. Thanks for joining us. Just coming off the More Pain show. 2.5 hours on that show with Crowdsource of Truth. And that show goes out to subscribers only on patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. So that show was up and running and live 2.5 hours, shooting the shit, tackling all types of different genres of intel, politics, and there's no shortage of things to discuss, as we will find out tonight, this morning, whenever you're waking up from your COVID/election/street riot stupor. We again find ourselves living. What a surprise. And this is probably the tip of the iceberg, especially if President Trump captures a White House and a re-election. We're going to need a sledgehammer, Peter Gabriel style. And we thank the folks on those platforms I mentioned, patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. That's the best way to benefit us directly, help us keep the lights on. Comes out to the price of about a half a cocktail. Nothing wrong with that. Little happy hour, Intel happy hour. And we stretch all those funds. There's like some noise in here. I don't know what it is. I think there's like a party going on next door. Did you hear it? I'm going to have to kick somebody's fucking ass. They know I'm recording. But still, it's like, you know, fucking Vincent Price is here. It's a haunted. They're taping Thriller upstairs or something. Fucking Jazzercise. I don't know what's going on. All these other heroes with top-rated podcasts, they have studios. They have credible equipment, studios, right? I'm doing a podcast in a haunted house. I'm eating ramen pride noodles. I fill up tap water in a spring water. Somebody said, you must not be doing so bad if you're drinking that Fiji spring water. That's where I'm pretty swanky. I've had the same two Fiji spring water bottles for like 6 months. I just fill up the tap water. Take it easy, everybody out there. They start criticizing your water, you know you're in trouble. Anyway, I don't care. I'll do a podcast from a damn bus depot or a shed. I don't care. I can rock and roll wherever and just shoot the shit, tell people the truth. Don't need a fancy studio for that. It's nice, though, when the ghosts stop creaking around, especially near Halloween. It gets a little creepy. But so we appreciate the folks on those platforms. Jump in and help out, man. We could use all the help we can get, believe me. And get access to the video podcast, the More Pain show, which we just did. We're doing a Pain After Dark show again on Saturday night for subscribers only. Get access to the forums, the witty banter, the intel. It's all kind of stuff going on in those forums on those places. And we plan on growing those out. We have big plans in 2021. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's just shoot for, to make it to the morning of November 4th. Let's jump right into the news. Thanks on those platforms again. I appreciate it. I can't say it enough, and I'm sure you're thinking, hey, Milgie, you can't say enough because he always says it. Okay, I'm sorry. Not really. There was a big, during the More Pain show, we still had great numbers, and then people came over after watching the Tucker Carlson interview with Bubba Linsky, former Hunter Biden business associate, Tony Bubba Linsky, and who's dropping intel and dropping the dime on the Biden cartel, the Biden family mafia. Bubba Linsky tonight says, I think Joe Biden and the Biden family are compromised. We're going to go to a video on that. You get the best of both worlds on here on the subscriber area. You get to watch the video, and we've been rolling out more and more video. So let's do that right now. We'll watch a portion of this. This is about a 22-minute interview. We're going to play the whole thing. Just kidding. We're going to play a couple minutes that I thought were particularly germane. And let's go from there, and then I'll jump back in.
About a series of suspicious overseas financial transactions that involved the former vice president's son. But their report did not tell the full story. There was a lot of money here, and a lot of it flowed to the Biden family. Where did it go, and where did it come from? We asked Tony Bobby Linsky that. Tell me about the money. So in the end, the Chinese did send quite a bit of money.
Correct.
Where did it go?
So documents were all executed even after this back and forth. And the Chinese CFC director Zhang, who's number three at the company, worked directly for Chairman Yi. And the way it was presented to me as a very senior Chinese Communist Party member was assuring me that $10 million was being sent to our bank account that was set up at JP Morgan Chase to basically fund operations and grow the business. And that of that $10 million, we were capitalizing the business. So $5 million of that $10 million was being loaned to Oneida Holdings as a non-recourse loan from CFC. And the other $5 million was coming as CFC as their, you know, capitalization of the business because we owned 50-50 in the partnership. The Chinese and CFC never viewed me. I'm insignificant and irrelevant in this discussion. To them, it was always the Biden family. It wasn't Hunter Biden. It wasn't Jim Biden. It was the Biden family, who's obviously led and operated by Joe Biden. And in a document that you guys have, and I think it's been provided to, you know, to the world, the Chinese referenced that because of their trust in the Biden family, that Chairman Yi and Director Zhang are excited about moving forward in this. And in that document, they referenced loaning $5 million to the BD family.
Right.
The BD family is the Biden family. And notice they didn't say we're loaning that money to Oneida Holdings, or we're loaning that money to Tony Bobulinski, or we're loaning that money to James Gillier or Rob Walker. They, once again, not a document generated by me, a document generated by CFC, that they're loaning that money to the Biden family.
What are the implications of this going forward? If Joe Biden is elected president, which could very well happen, how does this constrain his ability to deal with China?
Are you asking for my personal
opinion? I am. I'm asking for your opinion as someone who's worked with the Chinese.
So I think Joe Biden and the Biden family are compromised. Obviously, I've referenced that I held a Q clearance. You're briefed on compromise and, you know, who you're able to talk with and deal and do business with. And I just don't see, given the history here and the facts, how Joe can't be influenced in some manner based on the history that they have where here with CFC and stuff like that. So as a citizen and an American taxpayer, I'm very, very concerned.
It seems at this point that there is so much documentation. And again, we have your documents, the ones that you retain, the text, the emails, and the legal documents. But presumably there are many others because there are a lot of other people involved in this. Is it possible that this stuff just disappears and nobody covers it for the next 4 years if Biden's elected? I mean, it seems like there's a lot of evidence out there.
I think the American people should be demanding that this is investigated. And I don't know what the right party to do that is. Is that the DOJ? Is that the FBI? Is that Congress? Is that the Senate? But there absolutely should be no scenario that this isn't investigated. And as you said, I probably have purview into 10%, just picking a round number, of what was actually going on. And I would encourage the American people to go online and download Senator Johnson's 87-page report after watching this, and read pages 65 through 87 and form your own conclusion. What I've come forward with is a piece in that puzzle that Senator Johnson and Senator Grassley did not have. They didn't have it because I hadn't gone on record, and all this information and documentation was kept very, very tight. You asked me if the information disappeared. I would expect that other parties have probably destroyed or gotten rid of information. I didn't. I have every email, every text, every WhatsApp that was exchanged, and I've provided that to the authorities, and here I am discussing it.
So you learned from the Senate report that the Chinese sent a great deal of money, but it didn't go where it was supposed to go, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So take the American people back to July 2017. I was being told by Director Zhang, who's a senior executive at CFC, that the $10 million was going to be funded in two tranches of $5 million and $5 million. Once again, the way they were approaching that is $5 million was a loan to the Biden family, and $5 million was their contribution to capitalize Sinohawk Holdings. That money didn't come in June, it didn't come in July, and I was in Europe traveling with friends and family, and I was frustrated because culturally there's a tendency to, hey, it's coming, and it wasn't coming. So I was very frustrated. But also in July 2017, something that happened is over July 4th weekend, while we were celebrating our Independence Day, President Xi was in Moscow meeting Vladimir Putin on an official visit. And in that meeting and in that, you know, multiple days, Director Zhang was in Moscow participating in that. And Rosneft, or media in Russia, had leaked to the press that they were entertaining selling 14% of Rosneft, which is the state-owned, U.S.-sanctioned energy company of Russia, to CEFC. When I saw that leaked, you can imagine, once again, the clearance I held, the military background, sort of pushed away from the table like, whoa, this is stair-stepping things at a level that do I even want to be associated with, or do I even want to be near? Shortly after that information got out, I was told that Director Zhang's visa was denied. He could no longer get back into the U.S. for meetings or to, you know, bring his wife and his kids to go to school in New York, and that it was denied multiple times. Jim Biden confirms that in text. James Gillier references it. Kevin Dongwin Nguyen, who's the individual that's referenced in Senator Johnson's Senate report, he went by Kevin. His legal name is Dongwin Gong. And so I was sort of walking on eggshells, you know, what's going on? You're saying this money's going to be funded. It hasn't come in yet. I'm sort of near the end of my rope here. And then in September, easily validated, it's officially announced that CFC is buying 14% of Rosneft, once again, the state-owned energy company. And so at that point, I just sort of pushed away from the table. The money hadn't been funded into Sinohawk, and I was having daily discussions with James Gillier. You know, what's going on here? You know, the Biden name, Russia, China. I don't want to be anywhere, you know, near this. I got to understand all the moving pieces. And so we went into the fall of 2017, very well documented, when Patrick Ho, who's an employee or an associate of CFC, landed in New York. He was detained by the U.S. government and put in jail for corruption, apparently for leaving shoeboxes of cash to two African presidents. And it started this downhill spiral of CFC as a company. Remember, President Xi was traveling around the world under the One Belt, One Road. That was their political approach. And CFC was the capitalistic side of the Chinese government, doing things that they could do on the capitalist side that the government couldn't get done. It's very well documented, the work that CFC did in the Middle East, in Czechoslovakia, in Romania, Kazakhstan, in Georgia, all over the world. When they announced that that they were officially tendering for 14% of Rosneft, a deal valued at $9 billion, I sort of pushed away from the table like, okay, obviously that's taking priority over this discussion. I just sort of, was watching things play out once they detained Patrick Ho. I did reach out to Hunter Biden in October 2017, asking him, hey, listen, they haven't funded the $10 million. Have you done something that I'm not aware of? Have you gone around us? Have you started a parallel discussion with Chairman Yi that I should be conscious of? And in a variety of text messages that you've been provided, and I think the American people have been provided, he says, no, I didn't go around you. But oh, by the way, I'm acting as the personal attorney to Chairman Yi. Now imagine being in my shoes, looking at my phone, reading this text message from Hunter Biden. I just spent 6 months all out of pocket myself. Nobody was paying me. I was paying for my own travel, my own meals, my own cars, anything that was needed. And Hunter Biden is now telling me that he's meeting personally one-on-one with Chairman Yi in his $50 million penthouse in New York. And if he can't meet him, he's picking up the phone and calling him, but they only discuss things in person. You can imagine my anger and frustration there, because then I'm like, oh, this has gotten slippery. You have gone around me. What's going on here? And oh, by the way, Hunter, you're acting as the personal attorney to Chairman Yi while they're tendering for 14% of the Russian state-owned energy company, a deal valued at $9 billion? What am I missing here? And he sort of just plays it off. And he said, I'm working on a bunch of other personal things and visas and stuff like that, but doesn't go into a lot of detail. I'd love for you to ask him that. I'd love the American people to ask what those other special things were.
You've told your story in a very public way. What do you expect the consequences for you and your family will be?
So my focus right now is not the consequences on me. I'm actually trying to be selfless in this discussion. I think the consequences our country faces, that average American voter that's thinking about what presidential candidate they pick today or have picked over the prior 2 weeks or in the future all the way up to the election. I'm doing this for them, not for my family, not for any money. I'm doing this out of a patriotic duty to our country based on my military background and my grandfather's background. So other people can determine the facts and what matters and how they want to vote. But I had to go on record because they chose to sort of mar up my name. So I have a former SEAL team protecting my family. I'm not at home right now. And I'll travel the next 4 years if I have to. I had to do this.
Well, there you have it. Bob Bielinski, that's a great interview. It went a little long. Well, this isn't Fox News. It's Thomas Paine podcast. We're allowed to delve into things. I don't think it was long at all. I think it was very telling. And there's a bigger part of that interview, too, if you want to listen to it. But I thought that was the meat and potatoes right there. Bob Bielinski, he didn't realize who he was messing with. The Bidens have been ripping people off down here in the Delaware Valley and outside of Philadelphia, Delaware, Philly, and New Jersey for 50 years. Biden and his brother, they've been literally train robbers and bank robbers. Speaking of that, let's see. I mean, these guys are unbelievable. I'm a little bank robber from The Clash while we're talking. Of course they double-crossed him. The only people the Bidens pay are the Bidens. They've ripped off everybody from... I know a contractor did his driveway. Refinished Joe's driveway. Joe stiffed him $12,000-$14,000. Not seal coat, paved his driveway. We got a contractor down here, did $45,000 renovation on Joe's kitchen. Joe and Jill's kitchen. Joe gave him $1,500 down. Joe still owes him $45,000. This has gone on for 5 years. 5 or 6 years since he was in the White House. That's just the tip of the iceberg. That doesn't include the bank loans the family is welched on. It used Joe's contact on the Senate Banking Committee and everything else. I'm talking about 50 years they've been ripping people off. And Bubba Linsky got, he should have done his due diligence. Should have called me. I would have said, hey, bro, everybody is going to get paid except you. And you see, they did an end run around the guy. Not only that, he's implicating now, Bubba Linsky's implicating the Bidens in bed with the Chinese and the Russians. And Hunter Biden acting as a personal attorney for a guy that's not even allowed in the country. Who's got side deals with the Russians. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And where's the FBI? Nowhere to be found. You listen to this and it makes our episode 46, the Big Wednesday podcast last week, everything just clicks. Chick, 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 chick. Perfectly. Puzzle pieces. My God. This guy could be elected president. My God. The level of corruption and deceit. Well, that's one way to kick off. Where's the media on this story? Nowhere to be found. Where's the FBI? Nowhere to be found. Where's Barr? Nowhere to be found. Ray? Nowhere to be found. Rigged protection racket schemes after scheme after scheme after scheme. Distraction after distraction after distraction. It's a disgrace. It's a national disgrace how they've raped and pillaged this country, its constitution, you of your civil rights, you of your personal wealth, you of your career, business, your kids, of their freedoms, you of your freedoms. The list goes on and on and on. And the rich keep getting richer and you keep getting poorer. And the Biden name is cashing in. As it always has for 50 years, they went from petty criminals down here in Delaware to worldwide players. Because time and time and time again, they were emboldened to go for bigger grifts, bigger schemes, because the FBI and the Department of Justice and the State Department and beyond has licensed these people and select people such as these to steal money on a regular basis. Your money. Your money. Bank robbers. Unbelievable. Headline. New York Democrat Mayor Bill de Blasio gets heckled at the polling place. How about a little Hobo Jungle by the band? No, let's go with the Lonely Hobo Lullaby by the Hollies. Played some Hollies yesterday. I'm on a Hollies kick. We have a hobo and lullaby for little baby de Blasio. Not even his real name. Do you know that? Just go to your favorite web browser, or back in the day, your favorite web crawler, and type in Bill de Blasio real name. And his real name, you can't make it up. This guy's, his real name sounds like a real communist zealot. Warren Wilhelm Jr. Warren Wilhelm Jr. But he changed it to Bill de Blasio. Tell me this guy's not a fucking crackpot again. Tell me how he's not a crackpot. Democrat New York City Mayor Bill Wilhelm. It sounds like someone who was one of the guest generals on Hogan's Heroes. Remember General Hochstetler used to come in? Who is this man? What is this man doing here? Warren, General Wilhelm is here. Bill de Blasio comes in. Bob Crane. It's Stalag 13. You can't even make it up. Democratic New York City Mayor Warren Wilhelm got heckled while waiting in line at his polling place in Brooklyn. Blasio arrived around 1:20 p.m. He just rolled out of bed and waited in line like every other New Yorker. Wow, what a trooper. He's one of the common people. Except he's got NYPD there to make sure he doesn't get his head cracked open on the sidewalk. Waited in line like every other New Yorker outside his polling place at the Park Slope Armory to vote in the 2020 election, but he had to face his fair share of heckling. Get to work, yelled one passing cyclist. Get to work! You're the worst mayor ever, yelled another critic walking by. But de Blasio, dressed in a suit and wearing a blue surgical mask, gabbed with constituents while in line and told reporters he was happy to wait to cast his vote. He was later seen back in line to vote again. It's New York. The guy gets heckled on the street. That's great. I'm surprised he didn't get rolled by some of the homeless hordes that they have putting up in hotels in New York City, swanky hotels on your dime. You're paying for it. You're paying for 13,000 homeless people being lodged in swanky hotels every day, and it's going on your tax tab, folks, not New York City's, yours. Health and Human Services is paying the tab. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't even know. It was a ridiculous amount of money. Ridiculous amount of money. You can't even. A lonely hobo lullaby by the Hollies. We're going to go with Hobo Jungle by the band, but we'll come back with that later. Next up, let's just rock and roll since we started out with a big, long clip. It's okay. I mean, that interview is something else. Something else. We may get a... We may get a conservative chief justice if Roberts joins the liberals. Judge Thomas gets to assign the opinion. So we'll see. Associate Justice Chief Justice Thomas was the headline of an article. Blah, 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 blah. Well, we'll see what happens. You don't actually think that Chief Justice John Roberts is gonna give up being Chief Justice, do you? But if he does, and he should just side with the minority and just come out as a Democrat. I mean, this bullshit act of him being a Republican is past fucking ripe. He's the nightmare gift that the dopey George Bush administration that keeps on giving. Bush is at home still trying to paint with watercolors, and this guy's fucking up the country. Thanks a lot, Bush. Nothing worse than rich kids, guys. Nothing worse than rich assholes' kids. I should rephrase it. George Bush, Bill de Blasio, Andrew Cuomo. The list goes on and on and on. Tom Wolf, the Wolf Man, mayor, the governor of Pennsylvania. He only put up $12 million of his own money to run for office. $12 million of his own money. Rich kids who never did a fucking thing in their lives are ruining yours. You better pay attention on election day at your local and state levels. You previously didn't think they mattered much, did you? Oh, yeah? Now you're probably thinking a little bit different. J.P. Morgan, let's go to this one. J.P. Morgan asks, what if Trump wins? Well, what happens if Trump wins? Unbelievable. Let's hope he does. All right, we'll go a little Robert Cray. What the hell? Robert Cray holding court. J.P. Morgan asks, what if Trump wins? On Monday, we were amused to note that amid a relentless barrage of Wall Street analysis predicting a blue wave on November 3rd, or at least a Joe Biden landslide victory, none other than the largest U.S. bank came out with the jarring counter-narrative when J.P. Morgan, head of global equity strategy, said that not only is a blue sweep not the best possible outcome, instead it is expected to be mostly neutral in the short term, as it would likely be accompanied by some immediate positive catalyst, i.e. larger fiscal stimulus infrastructure. In other words, ripping more money off from you, stealing more money from you, load on a couple more trillions to the massive unpayable national debt. Anyway, in the short term, as it would likely be a nightmare, J.P. Morgan said, as an alternative, also, we didn't even talk about it, the raising of corporate taxes, and that increases your prices all across the board. J.P. Morgan said that an orderly Trump victory as the most possible and favorable outcome for the equities and the markets. And wait a minute. Needless to say, this was a striking reversal to the new dominant narrative, because over the past few weeks, Wall Street has spent so much digital ink explaining just why the blue wave and Biden is the best possible scenario. It's very strange that all this is coming out now, a week before the election. You have a major bank, the bank, the largest U.S. bank, asking, hey, what happens if Trump wins? Sounds like they're wavering a little bit, doesn't it? Biden's not holding court anymore. Robert Gray band. He's in the basement, but he's not holding court. You wouldn't see J.P. Morgan and a doubting what was all the polls and everything else. Let's keep an eye on that. I just wanted to throw that in. Worth keeping an eye on. And we're moving on. We're rocking and rolling. Covering a lot of stuff today. Just for the hell of it, I wanted to throw this back out at you. And we'll play our Joe Biden song, China Grove. China Joe. Oh, 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 China Joe. Just for shits and giggles. We talked at length about Hunter and China and Russia. What about the collusion, folks? Remember all the Russian collusion, this, that? We're going to investigate this, we're going to investigate that, Russian collusion. Wouldn't you say that what Bob Alinsky said, Hunter Biden allegedly, I'm saying allegedly, just for the hell out of it, trying to be a good little journalist. Hunter Biden allegedly represented Chinese CEO in a deal to help Russia state oil company. Isn't that collusion? Is it even legal? I don't even think it's legal. Did this guy represent as a... Did he register to do this? No. Hey, what's your pedigree, man? Did you file your FARA paperwork? No, man, I'm Hunter Biden. Oh, okay. Think about it. Hunter Biden, the son of the former vice president, Joe Biden, according to Bob Alinsky, acted as the personal attorney for Ye, whatever the fuck his name is, Ye Yahoo, who was the chair of a major Chinese energy firm, in a deal to buy a 14% stake in a Russian state oil company. Oh, by the way, that Russian state oil company, the massive oil company, at the time was facing U.S. sanctions. Anybody seen Christopher Ray lately? Christopher Ray? Ray? Bar? Is anybody out there? China Joe's out there, though. Ho, China Joe. I would say that's a stunning bombshell. It was made by Bubba Linsky. He was only a former business partner. What the hell does he know, according to the mainstream media? This guy's got like an axe to grind. Now we can't get involved in this story. This guy is not legitimate. Yeah, okay. Massive. They're all tied in together, folks. They're all tied in together. You can't even make it up. China Joe, Christopher Ray, what the hell's the difference? It's all, you know what we're playing? We're suddenly all in a game of Russian roulette. Here's some Russian roulette by the Hollies as we move on to the next story. No, it's insane. What I just said is completely insane. Because when did Ray get into the FBI? Let's take a look at Christopher Ray. Just let's do a little fun on the fly as we listen to some Russian roulette. Give me 30 seconds to look this up. Da, 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 da. It's going to be my theme music. Let's see. Oh. Ray assumed office on August 2nd, 2017. What's the time frame here? The time frame is before that, it looks like. What a scheme. Bubba Linsky recalled that in July 2017, Chinese premier was in Moscow for meetings with the Russian President Vladimir Putin. Bubba Linsky recalled that they were shocked to learn CEFC's interest in Russia. Wow. You've got to wonder if Ray's law firm made money off of this. Was representing these guys. Was representing Rosneft. And then a month later, guess who gets appointed FBI director? Oh, none of this came up? None of this came up in the Senate hearings? Of course not. So let me get this straight. It's 2017, the summer of 2017. And they're talking about, okay, they had already hatched out the fact that Rosneft was going to, or CEFC had announced a deal to buy a stake in Rosneft. And Hunter Biden is representing the CEFC guy who's banned coming into the United States. He's representing him as his personal attorney at the same time that the director of the FBI's law firm is representing the other side. I'm sorry, I don't believe in coincidences and happenstance. I don't. And then, the same time, a month later, in August, Ray takes up the mantle. When did he take office? August 2nd. He assumed office August 2nd. Previous to that, he was obviously in private practice at King and Spalding. That's the name of the law firm, if I remember. He was at King and Spalding. And then a month after he takes office, assumes office, what happens? They go public with the information that the CEFC is going to make a play for 14% of Rosneft. Yeah, that's pretty good timeline. I have to do some homework on that, but that's basically what we're looking at. Tell me again how Ray is a total swamp creature. Good luck. You can't convince me that he's not. We just proved it on the fly that he is. He proved it. Well, I'll take a look at that, but that is something else, man. That's a good catch. Pat myself on the back. I would, but I got both hands here on the wheels of steel, so to speak. Election night's most crucial number is votes yet to be counted. And you can't even spell the word country without the word count. So let's go to a little U2. In God's country, where I come from, we still live in God's country. Some of these street urchins, these varmints, these gutter snipes, these sewer rats, I'm sure would beg to differ. This election night, there's a new statistic that may be the most important number for people trying to figure out what the hell's going on and just who won the presidency, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Election officials in key battleground states and even the Associated Press are adopting a new measure aimed at estimating how much of the vote has yet to be counted. Oh, this sounds like it's going to be another New York Times needle. Remember that? Hillary has a 97% chance of winning. And then the fucking needle went down. Hillary has an 80% chance. 60, 50, 40, 30. Somebody get that needle, dick, some Viagra over at the New York Times in 2016. Oh, don't worry. They decided they're not going to do. They're not going to do the needle anymore. After 2016, it was such a disappointment. You literally had people crying like little bitches. These are supposed to be people who are balanced, functional adults, blubbering like a bunch of bitches. It's embarrassing. See, a lot of these geeks and these dweebs never participated in any competitive situation, so they don't know how to lose like a man. We'll keep it at that before I get in trouble. With unprecedented mail-in voting this year because of the scamdemic, the vote count will be more fragmented and results could be delayed in key swing states. That means the traditional number of political analysts watch on election night. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, keep this in mind when you start seeing these election results fly in and they don't make any goddamn sense. And don't forget, a lot of the networks pick up what AP says. It comes across the wire and then they just read it because they're fucking bubble-headed bleach blondes. The AP plans to report results using an estimated expected vote percentage for specific races that include all of the votes that the wire service expects to be cast, including mail-in ballots, provisional votes, ballots cast when a voter's eligibility is questioned, that are held for a period of days after election to be checked, and military and overseas ballots. In other words, guys, they don't know what the fuck they're going to be counting. They're just winging it and making it up. And how much you want to bet they're going to call the elections for different states for Biden based on this voodoo science here? It's just some kind of a weird witch doctor formula. They're counting votes. Okay, estimated expected vote percentage. Whatever just happened to the actual percentage of votes? their real-time vote count. So what they're saying is they're not going to use real-time vote counts. So who knows what the hell they're going to be reporting on TV. Because, again, TV stations and radio and other folks, they do use a lot of AP data for the backbone of the reports, I know. So keep an eye out for that. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to go well. So election night has now become take a guess night. And we can't make this stuff up. It's really beyond. It's beyond any hope. What we got on here? All right. Games without frontiers. Trump was hacked. Trump 2020 campaign site was hacked. And cryptocurrency scam as a chilling message warns classified information was exposed. President Donald Trump's campaign website was hacked late Tuesday night in a cryptocurrency attack with a chilling warning that claimed classified information is exposed. They put on the page in the about section of the DonaldTrump.com, DonaldJTrump.com, was replaced with a page that claimed the site had been seized and listed a series of allegations claiming Trump administration is both behind the coronavirus pandemic and is in cooperation with foreign actors manipulating the 2020 elections. They put up a landing page. This site was seized, and they have the FBI's logo there and the DOJ's logo there. Two things wrong with this story. And neither the FBI nor the DOJ are doing anything right now. They're not even seizing websites. The hack was first reported about 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but the website appeared to have returned to normal later in the night. Department of Justice logos were featured above a fake warning and followed by the following text: "The world has had enough of the fake news. Spread it. Spread it daily by the president, Donald J. Trump." Donald J. Trump, all in lower caps. Another fucking English whiz here. Who couldn't count his toes without a calculator. The slide rule hero. "The world has had enough of this fake news. Spread it." I guess it works. Spread it works, I guess. If you're a mental midget. Why is fake news hyphenated? I don't know. "It's time to allow the world to know the truth," the page read. You know who this sounds like? I think we have a lead. We have a lead. We can help the FBI here. This sounds like the work of a very small-time criminal. And I have to get the song to introduce him. Having some fun tonight, just kind of a laid-back thing. This will only be the work of one nefarious, petty criminal. And Dr. Anthony Fauci, this sounds just like some of his rhetoric. "It's time to allow the world to know the truth." Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason to live. They got little hands, little eyes, to walk around telling great big lies. They got little noses, tiny little teeth. They're well platformed. Speaking of people who walk around telling lies, we move again to New York City, where New York State officials and Cuomo and de Blasio are telling people, we have to get the song up. De Blasio and others urge all New Yorkers to avoid travel for the holidays. Fish gets caught on a hook, you'll go for a line, get hit with a book. Like a cop puts cuffs on a crook, baby, you get yours. Like a clown falls down. Yeah, we hope these guys get theirs one day. With the holiday season quickly approaching, the mayor is urging New Yorkers to stay home for the holidays, avoid the spread of coronavirus.
No one is allowed to leave the house.
Maybe this is Stalag 13.
I see nothing. I hear nothing. What is this man doing here?
Hey, look. Hey, look, Mayor. Your brother, your sister.
What is this man doing here? I told these people to stay at the home.
During a briefing from City Hall Monday, Mayor Bill de Blasio, remember his, that's not his real name. What's his real name? Humpback the hobo? I forget his name already. Wilhelm. General Wilhelm's here. Colonel Klink, General.
What is this man doing here on Thanksgiving?
If you haven't, if you don't know Hogan's Heroes, you can't, you don't get it. Blasio said New Yorkers run the risk of bringing back the disease and infecting others. Oh, yeah. No, I think you have that wrong.
I think you have that wrong.
I think New Yorkers probably, we run the risk of being infected by New Yorkers. Statistically speaking, there's about 20,000, 25,000 dead senior citizens who would agree. I have to, where do we got this other one? Yeah, you'll get yours. We'll see. We'll see. And don't worry, Frank, we're coming back to Frank for the good times. One of my favorite Elvis songs. No more good times for you. No more fun of any kind, Dean Wormer style. I have to urge all New Yorkers, do not travel out of the state for the holidays, said de Blasio. Yeah, please don't. We don't want to be killed out here in other states. Do not travel to a state with a high infection rate. What do you mean? You assholes have the highest infection rate in the world. Fuck are you talking about, dummy? Do not travel to a country with a high infection rate. New York is the highest infection rate in the world. These people are fucking insane. You realize that? This big bird brain, big bird looking bird brain, doesn't even acknowledge that. These guys are killers, man. They killed people. Manslaughter. And he's urging New Yorkers, don't travel out of the state. Yeah, please. I want to stay alive. Every time I see a New York plate, I run for the hills. You see people driving in their cars with one or two masks on? They're looking for the New York plate. Guy's insane. All right, we move along here. And you know what? I think we'll go back to Frank. This is a big one. Two sisters allegedly stabbed a Chicago store employee 27 times after he told them to wear a mask and use hand sanitizer.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
Yeah.
Chicago, Chicago.
Don't wear a mask and you go down. Yeah. Change the words around. Changing the words around for the Ronco COVID-19 two-record set. Is that freedom rock? Turn it up, man. Is that COVID rock? Turn it up, man.
On State Street, that great street, I just want to say.
Fauci said you can't leave your apartment today. Yeah. Chicago police say the two sisters held down a store employee and stabbed him 27 times after he told them to wear masks and use hand sanitizer provided by the business. The startling incident unfolded on Sunday at Snipes, an athletic clothing store. Police allege that 21-year-old Jessica Hill and her sister, 18-year-old Jayla Hill, entered the store at about 6 p.m. and were asked to, hey, put on masks and apply some hand sanitizer because of the coronavirus pandemic. The two refused and began to argue with 32-year-old man. I bet you this guy's got like 3-4 kids. He's out there busting his hump, trying to put some scratch together to dig out of the hole the government fucking stuffed them in, especially in Chicago. Cook County, fuck's sake. Now he's taking a dirt nap because these street urchins are completely out of fucking control. James says that the altercation became violent and one of the sisters punched the employee in the chest and then Jayla grabbed him. What? What the hell is this? This went downhill fast. This really escalated quickly. So the altercation became violent. One of the sisters punched the employee in the chest, and then Jayla Hill grabbed him by the hair as Jessica Hill stabbed him. That's fucking unfair, man. Hair pulling? Like, stabbing is one thing, but hair pulling is bullshit. That's a real Bush League move. The man was stabbed 27 times in the chest, back, and arms and was later sent to Mount Sinai Hospital. Police say the sisters also struck him with a trash can and kicked him as he fell down. What's this guy's name again? They don't mention the guy. That suspect. That probably means he's a honky. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I fucking understand. The idiot syncrasies, literally idiot syncrasies of the news media. I put money on. Two women were arrested at the scene and treated for minor lacerations. Oh, thank God they were treated. What about the fucking guy who got stabbed 27 times? Did they help him out? Well, they got him to the hospital. That's good. He had puncture wounds all over his body. Another report said the man was in critical condition. Do you think so? 27 times? Plus, he got beat with a... What, did he get beat with a trash can? Struck him with a trash can and kicked him as he fell down. These people are animals. I'm sorry. It's there's no other way to pitch this. The women were charged with attempted murder and held without bond. Oh, here we go. It already started. Defense lawyer for the two women said in court that they had never been in trouble with the law and were planning to attend college. They already started the bullshit narrative. The only thing missing here is they were turning their lives around. That's big. They were turning their lives around. And this is unfortunate. He just gotten a job. And he was turning his life around. Yeah, because his parole agent said he had to get a job. They always leave that part out. Talk about terrorizing an entire community. These people are unbelievable. What a story. What a story. Wow. This is why people shop online. Street urchins on the loose, folks. Out of control. And in keeping with that thing, where's my song? There it is. Total loss. Looting continues for the second night in Philadelphia following a fatal police shooting of Walter Wallace. Who gives a shit what his name is? He came at cops with a knife. I'm watching the news media today in Philly. They're making it seem like this is a tragic loss of some kind of a fucking Nobel laureate. They always do this. Like I just said, it's criminal what they do.
He was turning his life around.
Yeah, and what? He just bought the fucking knife. He just got the Ginsu to carve up the turkey, right? Fuck out of here. Looting and demonstrations continued for a second consecutive night Tuesday in Philadelphia. We just call that Wednesday. Following the fatal police shooting of Walter Wallace Jr. in West Philly, police say looting along Aramingo Avenue in Philadelphia's Port Richmond neighborhood has rapidly gone downhill Tuesday night and is a total loss. Oh, by the way, the Wolfman, Tom the Wolfman Wolf, called in to mobilize the National Guard to help with cops. Like 40 cops got rolled today, beat up, injured. Includes Philadelphia PD and state police. And Wolf is worried about getting yanked out of his fucking office in Harrisburg. I'm not talking about being removed from office. I'm talking about being physically removed from office. So he damn well better mobilize the National Guard. The city is asking residents to stay indoors in West and North Philadelphia. Oh, you think that's a good idea? Anybody with a brain is indoors, believe me. Port Richmond, Kensington, and Fishtown. Hell holes. Kensington. Residents should always stay indoors in Kensington. They should just make that a local ordinance. Protesters continue to face off with officers in riot gear outside the 18th Police District at 55th and Pine along the 52nd Street Commercial Corridor. Fucking, this is the gates of hell in Philadelphia. Looters can be seen entering Foot Locker store and many other stores. Widespread looting continued at a nearby Walmart, Port Richmond. Philadelphia police tweeted a warning to stay away from the area as a crowd of approximately 1,000 people were looting in the area. It's always a good tweet coming from your PD. Alert! A large crowd of approximately 1,000 is looting businesses in the area of Castor and Aramingo Avenue. Avoid the area. Isn't that kind of like a, hey, get down there quick before they run out of everything? Pennsylvania National Guard says several hundred members are being deployed to the city at the request of Philadelphia County. Unbelievable. 30 to 40 police officers were injured during violent protests, including a female officer who suffered a broken leg after being run over by a car. I think they left out the word stolen in there somewhere. This is insane. The guy, this 27-year-old street urchin, came at cops with a knife and they shot him. Okay? And people are saying, they should have tased him. Fuck that. Put him down if he comes at you with a knife. There is no compromise. Center mass. Boom. Done. And if he got shot 14 times, it's because cops are trained to react. And more than one cop took action the way they're trained. There is no gray area here for cops. This is black and white. And anybody who says shoot him in the leg or shoot him in the arm is a fucking dummy. A real cement head. Someone comes at you with a knife or a deadly weapon, you put them fucking down. Period. End of discussion. Frank Rizzo style. Where's the good mayor at? Is he on here? Where is he at? I got him on here somewhere.
You're a real crumb bum.
Thank you, Mayor Rizzo. Where's the other one at? Hold on.
You're a crumb creep coward.
And that's the way you roll. That's the way we grew up. I believe that too. Listen to my podcast with Tony Del Duca, a street cop, 25 years in Newark, New Jersey, and all over the place. Auto Theft Task Force, star of the Jacked Auto Theft Task Force television show, television series. He'll tell you. He laid it out on that podcast, man. You listen to that, you get a real ear opener on what the hell's going on. We go back to the street urchins. Listen to these dopes.
Ching, ching, ching.
Chain of fools. Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they fight over who should lead the Philadelphia protest. We have an uprising among the street urchins, the skinny jean, breadsticks, butter sticks, weirdos, vagrants, varmints, gutter snipes, sewer rats, dumpster hobos, and all around losers. An apparent disagreement over protest leadership broke out in Philadelphia Tuesday night as we were doing the Moore Payne show. And Black Lives Matter and Antifa protesters, following the squabble, the two factions decided to go separate ways. Current scene in Philadelphia, where a couple hundred BLM Antifa came to march for Walter Wallace. Inner fighting between the two groups resulted in the two marches splitting off. Everybody wants a piece of the chaos pie, huh? If they fought each other, we'd be in business. Of course, they're both on the same side. Actually, they're not allowed to fight each other without... They have to... the two groups resulted in splitting off. So they could go back and talk to their FBI handlers on what to do. They had to talk to their government handlers. They don't want to make any drastic moves that could bring negative negative media attention to the FBI, who runs these groups. The dispute led to the destruction of at least one Black Lives Matter flag by a person wearing black block. The argument seemed to be based on what direction the protesters should take. They need to talk to the FBI. Didn't the feds give them a good roadmap on what to do, what not to do? We know they weren't busy examining Hunter Biden's laptop for child porn. You think they would have freed him up? You can't even make it up. It's so insane. This whole... Just to recap, this Wallace guy. This is no William Wallace. This is Walter Wallace. The unrest began after two officers shot and killed an armed black man, Walter Wallace Jr. Video shot by a witness shows Wallace approaching two police officers around a car and into a street. Officers ordered Wallace repeatedly to drop the knife before firing. They're really nice about it, too. Drop the knife. Back in the day, be drop the knife.
You're a crumb creep coward.
Wallace continued approaching the retreating officers with the knife extended toward the police. Multiple shots rang out and Wallace fell to the ground. A responding police officer loaded Wallace into a vehicle and drove him to the hospital. He later died from his wounds. What's the controversy? You come at a cop with a knife, you go home in a fucking bag. That's the way it is. That's the way it should be. Shoot, people saying, shoot him in the leg, tase him. Fuck that. You're going down. I'm going home to see my wife and kids. You want to play games out here? Play stupid games, win stupid fucking prizes. That's the law. That's the law of the street. People who can't handle it, people like Mayor Jim Kenney in Philadelphia, a real white trash Irish shanty hobo, shanty Irish bum. We got any song for this guy? I want to talk about him real quick. Put a little song in the background. Do a chant of fools. How about a little wrestler from Bruce Springsteen? This guy's been wrestling with the intellectual deficiencies his whole life. It's what Kenny said about the death of Walter Wallace Jr. See, these guys, they perpetuate these problems is what happens, okay? Got dark in here because the screen's black. Mayor Jim Kenney said that the video of Philadelphia police officers shooting and killing Walter Wallace Jr. in West Philadelphia presents difficult questions that must be answered. Kenney said he's spoken to Wallace's family and trusts the investigation into the shooting will be carried out appropriately. He calls the incident heart-wrenching. You know what this piece of shit doesn't say? He doesn't back the cops. The district attorney in Philadelphia, a communist, a literal communist that Soros put $1.5 million of his own cash up to get this piece of crap elected. He calls it heart-wrenching and gut-wrenching too, the communist DA. The communist mayor says the same thing, meeting with the family. Some good that has done, dummy. Your city's on fire because you appease the street varmints. What he doesn't say is, we support the police. You don't fucking come at the police with a knife. And anybody whose kid, relative, uncle, whoever the fuck it was, nephew, comes to police with a knife, why do I have to meet with the family? Your kid was an asshole. Got what he fucking deserved. Period. Fuck off, I'm busy. Go pick out a box for the fucking asshole. And what happens then is the media and everybody says, ooh, yeah, it's gut-wrenching. They should have shot him in the leg. You wouldn't see Rizzo coming out as police commissioner or mayor talking like, you know, both sides of his ass and his mouth, okay? He'd come out and say the same exact thing I'm saying. I just have enough balls to say it. Gut-wrenching. What's gut-wrenching is the fact that you didn't even fucking say anything to back up the police. There's no disturbing questions. The guy got shot a bunch of times. Okay. Why are you coming to cops with a knife when they told you multiple times to drop the fucking knife? For me, it wouldn't even be multiple times. It'd be like twice. We told him twice. He's going down. I'm sorry. I got to go home tonight. I got a wife and kids. I give you a shit how you're turning your life around. I'm out here breaking my ass, putting my life on the line every night. I don't got time to play games. Anyway, that's how it should be, man. I'm pussyfooting around with this crap, this PC culture. A bunch of goddamn cowards in this country now. Hey, thanks out there for the patronage on True Pundit and also on helping us out on patreon.com/TruePundit and subscribestar.com/TruePundit. We've got another podcast coming today. Big Wednesday podcast coming later. It literally is a chain of fools out there, like we played the song, Philadelphia. And you know what? Philly will continue to burn because these feckless leaders in the communist DA, I actually think there's part of them that they want this to happen. They think that this is good. They go, oh, yeah, let's burn our city to the ground. Guess what? How are you going to rebuild it? You don't have the tax base to rebuild it. You're already in the red. These people are not bright. They are not bright. There's nothing about them that are bright. Nothing. As opposed to the folks who are supporting us. They're clapping for the Wolfman like they guess. They guess who? I'm the modern day Wolfman. Somebody called me the other day. I was laughing. After I played some of the Wolfman Jack show when we were referencing the Wolfman, the governor of Pennsylvania. Anybody remember Wolfman Jack? So you can clap for the Wolfman in your own way years later, by contributing to those platforms and helping us keep the lights on. Patreon.com/TruePundit. Subscribestar.com/TruePundit. And we're not funded by millionaires and billionaires. And the folks that are joining up are staying. So we must be doing something right. We're retaining a lot of folks and we're growing. I got a little Wolfman in here. You know who else sang the song? It's pretty good. Todd Rundgren. He's got a good song, Passenger. We have to get that song. It's not in the current offerings. A lot of news we covered tonight. We'll see you back here for the Big Wednesday podcast. And then tomorrow, again, Pain in the Morning. And check out last night's More Pain show. I think you'll find that interesting. 2.5 hours. What the Wolfman used to say? We gone. Clap for the Wolfman. It's only a couple. It's only 25 cents a day to clap for this Wolfman. We appreciate the support. We really do. We'll see you guys. Be back here soon enough before you know it. Take care and God bless.